Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. I've got a special treat for you this week. A good friend of mine, Trevor Loudon, he's from a land down under, a Kiwi, the other land down under, New Zealand, but he is a researcher, he's a writer, he is a filmmaker, and he knows more about what is going on behind the scenes, and that's what we focus on here, than probably anybody that I know. And so I think you're going to really enjoy this today as we go through the big events of 2020, just giving an overview of them, and then he's going to fill in the connections, the things you might not have known about the three events. What were they? COVID, the revolution, and the election. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for being here. So Trevor, awesome. How are you doing?
Great, thanks, Curtis. Always a pleasure to be on and good to catch up with you.
Yes, likewise. I miss seeing you. You're going to have to get together soon in person again. So, Trevor, tell all of us, COVID. We know the fundamentals, the basics of COVID and what was going on, but just open that up a little bit and talk about some of the things that the average person might not have heard if they were watching the mainstream media.
Well, I think you need to put this in context. Is that like in May, I think it was May 2019, President Trump put tariffs on Chinese goods. And the response of China through the Xinhua news agency was to declare people's war on the United States. Now, at the time, it was speculated that that might mean, oh, they'll put tariffs on American goods. You know, they'll retaliate economically. But people's war is a Maoist term. It comes from Mao Zedong. And what it means is every form of warfare short of direct military confrontation. Like it's killing 30,000 young Americans a year with fentanyl. It's, the Confucius Institutes that they're indoctrinating our youth with. It's buying up senators. It's stealing intellectual property. It's smuggling arms to gang members in Los Angeles. It's everything short of a direct war. The aim of people's war is to destroy your enemy before your armies even march. So that your armies are just a mop-up operation. So the COVID, I believe, was a big step in this. Now, we know, according to a French biochemist, that it was genetically engineered, almost certainly came from one of the Wuhan laboratories and biological weapons laboratories. So the only real question is, was it deliberately released or was it an accidental release? Well, that I cannot prove. The timing would tend to think it was deliberate because it was beautifully timed for election year. It was straight after President Trump had supported the Hong Kong protesters, after he had backed the anti-communist candidate in the Taiwanese presidential elections, who won, and after he had caned the communist Chinese on trade. So the Communist Party of China is 800 families. It's like a mafia. And if you lose face in China, you know, they were embarrassed before their own people by President Trump. If you lose face in China, often you lose power not long after. You know, so the Chinese understood if they didn't take out President Trump, he would take them out. And that would be bloody and that would be brutal and they would not survive it. So the COVID, start to hear about it in January. Well, we don't know if it was deliberately released, but we certainly know it was deliberately spread. So, the Chinese banned internal air travel in China, but they didn't ban international air travel. Every year in Wuhan, they have a big New Year celebration. It's like a Mardi Gras. It lasts for a whole week, and Chinese come from all over the world to celebrate. And this year, the Chinese local authorities asked the Communist Party, should we cancel the celebrations so as not to spread the COVID? And the Communist Party said no, it goes ahead. So Chinese come from all over the world. They partied up for a week and then went back home, and COVID was everywhere. Now, we were told, see, normally when you have a pandemic, the normal response is you quarantine the sick and everybody else takes precautions and goes about their business. But we were told we couldn't do that this time by the World Health Organization because they said there was evidence of asymptomatic transmission, meaning people without symptoms were transmitting, and as we didn't have testing, we had to quarantine everybody. That was what we were told. But the World Health Organization is run by Mr. Tedros from Ethiopia. And if you check out his CV, you'll see he was the leader of that country's Marxist-Leninist, Maoist, pro-Chinese Communist Party. The man is completely in China's pocket. Now, so President Trump gets all this panic, you know, thrown at him. You know, if we don't shut down, there'll be 2 million deaths by Christmas. This is a major disaster. And he knew he had to shut down the economy on the advice of Fauci and the World Health Organization. Otherwise, he'd get blamed for every dead grandmother between then and the election. So he did. Now, Tucker Carlson, a couple of months ago, had a very interesting guest, a man called Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA officer and a Democrat. And he said, Tucker, I'm embarrassed. My party is following the Chinese line over COVID. Shut down everything, shut down everything. And Tucker said, why? And he said, well, you know, because some of them are useful idiots, but some of them are paid Chinese agents. But this is what it's all about. The blue states shut down everything they could. Everybody did for a start, but the red states, Florida and that, tried to open up as quickly as they could to get the economy back on its feet. But the blue states kept it shut down because their overriding mission was to get rid of Trump.
That's right.
And the worse the economy was, they figured that would damage his chances. So the Chinese and the Democrats formed an alliance. They both wanted to get rid of Trump, so they shut down the US economy in an attempt to do that. But there was an even more sinister purpose here. Now, Obama's greatest sin as president, in my opinion, was the huge damage he did to the US military. You know, his horrible rules of engagement,
yes.
The transgender policy, which wrecked morale, appointing tons of political generals and getting rid of a lot of the patriotic generals and canceling weapon systems. Like under Obama, America was building 9 Navy ships a year. China was building 60. So when Trump came into power, he understood that we were in big trouble. Our military is severely weakened while China and their Russian allies were building up like crazy. So he cancels the transgender policies, changes the rules of engagement, tries to up the morale of the military, and he upped the military budget. Very essential. But you can only do that on the back of a strong economy. What happens when your economy is in the tank? So already 31 Democrats, led by the pro-communist Barbara Lee from California, have written a letter to the Armed Services Committee demanding huge defense budget cuts in the next budget go-round. Huge. So if they succeed in doing that, guess which country rules the world?
Good old Red China.
Rich, this is the COVID, the panic around it, is a military operation to wreck the U.S. economy, to destroy President Trump, and destroy the U.S. military budget so China has no opposition. That's the purpose of the COVID panic from the Chinese point of view.
Yes, and that's very interesting. And we've talked about this on the show before, but it also is interesting that in January of this year, Trump gave his great talk before the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, telling them, we're not into globalism, we're not into socialism. Mm, mm. And I think they all that work together with the Red Chinese and the Russians Because all the elitists, the globalists, and the communists all want the same thing, a one world government that they're in control of. And so that was interesting. Right, it came out right after that, too, where I realized they're going to be at war with him. I remember listening to those speeches, and you ought to do it if you haven't. Go on YouTube and listen to his speech to the UN and at the World Economic Forum. They were the most patriotic, pro-American, pro-freedom speeches any president has given. And it was so encouraging, but they realized, okay, he has to be destroyed. The COVID, too, some of the World Economic Forum's goals, of course, we know their goal number one, you'll own nothing and be happy. COVID has been so strategic with the lockdowns in killing small business and just destroying man's ability to individually be successful without the need of government assistance or have to work for some big company. And that is one of the key instruments of this. It also, of course, COVID just hasn't just affected us. I think it was primarily focused on us because of Trump, but it's impoverishing the entire world. And so it's creating a global crisis. And that crisis, of course, is something they can step up. And especially if Biden gets in there, offer some global solutions to the problem. And don't you see that happening as well?
Yeah, look, absolutely. See, China, in my view, is the enforcement wing of the globalists. It is their model for the future, because China, the old communist model when the state ran everything, isn't really their ideal. The new communist model is more like China, where there is a powerful party, where there are certain big business interests, and they work together to suppress the masses. So the masses work in the factories, do what they're told, provide the cheap labor. It's like a beehive model, where you've got a queen bee, the soldier bees, and everybody else is a drone. That's really the Chinese model, and that's the ideal model for the globalists. That's the kind of state. So this is all overlapping. They're driving us into socialism. They're weakening the economy. They're gutting the US military. Everything that makes America independent is being damaged by this. And so they will drive it every way they can to the goal of destroying American independence and American freedom, because a free, independent America is the only thing stopping world communism, basically.
Yeah, it really is, because most countries of the world would give in to whatever if there was enough pressure, because they're worrying about survival. They're just hanging in there day by day and could care less who's in charge as long as they have their food for the day.
Yeah. Well, that's right, and people, countries like, see, Trump's been trying to build an anti-China alliance with India and Japan and an anti-communist party of China alliance. And right now, you got to think, if Biden gets in, who's basically a Chinese agent, what's India going to do? Are they going to go in with China, or are they going to stand with us? What's Japan going to do? What's South Korea going to do? What's Taiwan and Australia going to do? This is upsetting the whole global balance of power. And the consequences of that is just, it's just hard to even calculate. So this is, so much hangs on this election. So you can see why the Chinese did everything they possibly could, and their globalist allies, and the Russians, and the Iranians, and the Venezuelans, to destroy the only president who stood up to them for 40 years.
It's such serious times we live in, and I know you that are listening to this know that, and that's why you're listening. But things like this, make sure you share it with others. The best thing we can do right now, when there's not a lot we can do, it's to educate others one person at a time, to wake them up where they understand what's going on, so we keep slowly growing our side like we've been doing. That's why Trump, it appears he's maybe gotten almost 20 million more votes than he did in 2016. That's encouraging. That means enough people saw, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. It's actually making a difference. So we can't lose heart in that. But now the next phase of 2020, we thought, okay, we're finally learning to deal with COVID. It's going to, it'll be okay. I think we're going to work this out. And then in May, tell us what happened, how it happened, and why it happened, Trevor.
Well, guess what? It was China. Look, okay, we're told that, you know, all these riots started because George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, right? And yeah, that was the spark. But this was planned since at least 2016. The group that organized the burning of Minnesota, of Minneapolis and Kenosha, Washington, and many other towns, is a group called the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, a pro-Chinese communist organization. And they, the day that Trump was inaugurated, February 20th, 2017, I believe, the leader of that organization, Steph Yurek, vowed to make this country ungovernable to bring down the president. In 2019, in November, they set up a big nationwide organization in Chicago called the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. It was named after a Communist Party group of the 70s, the group that got Angela Davis out of jail when she was up on murder charges, accessory to murder charges. So this group was all focused on anti-police, police brutality, police targeting black people. That was its whole focus. So they tried to start the riots when a black jogger was killed in Atlanta. But that didn't really fire. They tried to start them again when a young black woman was killed in a police raid in Louisville, Kentucky. But that didn't spark. The Minneapolis one was perfect because it was so public, and it was the headquarters of the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. It was perfect for them. And I've got on tape, look, I hope people go to choosefreedom.io, because I've got three or four videos on there dealing with the riots, dealing with who started them. They admit it. The woman who started the riots there is Jess Sundin. She is the wife of Stephanie Yurek and the leader of Freedom Road. She had a group called the Twin Cities Coalition for Justice for Jamar, which is named after a young black man who was killed by the police in 2015. They take credit for starting the riots. They talk about the joy they felt when they saw Precinct 3 burn to the ground. Joy, that's their word. They talk about how the violence and the looting was an integral part of what they were doing. This lie that it was peaceful Black Lives Matter and taken over by violent radicals is absolute garbage. It was always intended to be violent. So the Freedom Road Socialist Organization started the riots in Kenosha, in Dallas, Houston, Tallahassee, Tampa, Miami, and Jacksonville, Salt Lake City, Utah, Bay Area, East LA. They did a whole bunch of them. The rest of them were handled by a group called the Movement for Black Lives, which is the umbrella group for Black Lives Matter. Now, it'll shock your audience to the core to know that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. And people know that now, but it's more than that. It's a pro-Chinese communist Marxist organization. Patrice Couleurs, Opal Tometi, Alicia Garza, three young Marxists, all affiliated with the main pro-Chinese communist party in this country. It's now called Liberation Road. Liberation Road. And they are guided by a group called Asians for Black Lives, which is set up by a group in San Francisco called the Chinese Progressive Association. It's like a big acorn type group. It runs San Francisco politics. It has done for 40 years. Crazy. And that is directly subservient to the Chinese Communist Party. One of the main characters involved, Alex Tom, was the chairman, the chief executive officer of the Chinese Progressive Association, a founder of Asians for Black Lives, and a longtime friend of Alicia Garza. This guy has been to China. He has open contacts with the Chinese Communist Party and openly admits, well, in a tape I found, that he is deeply connected to the Chinese consulate in San Francisco and runs his messaging past the Chinese officials. He's actually in contact, deep ongoing contact with the Chinese officials there. In 2013, he took a delegation to China of a whole lot of American communists. They came back, and in 2014, Alicia Garza of Black Lives Matter and another one of his Alex Tom's acolytes, they went to Ferguson, Missouri for meetings with the Organization for Black Struggle, the Liberation Road front group that burnt Ferguson, Missouri to the ground. That was a trial run.
Okay.
So this is all completely orchestrated by pro-Chinese communists. So you get the COVID, which wrecks the economy and gets people dispirited. And just as they're starting to come out of that, you get hit with the worst riots that we've seen since the 1960s, maybe ever. But it's all China. It's all China behind it.
Yeah, and that's what people need to understand. When the Berlin Wall came down, communism did not die, it did not end, it did not give up, it didn't say, okay, forget that. It just went to plan B, C, and D that it had been working on all along. And the headquarters of the movement kind of went from Moscow to China. But they're still all working together.
And so they transferred the leadership of the movement to Beijing. Now it's run out of Beijing. It's run out of Cuba. It's run out of North Korea. And to a degree, Iran as well. You know, it's part of the mix too.
That's right.
Even though Iran is not supposedly a communist country.
Yeah.
But look, here's another analogy. You'd say, okay, Soviet communism collapsed in the 90s. Well, so you compare communism to a tumor in your body, a cancer, and I think that's a very apt analogy. Well, say you had a big tumor in your body and you cut 90% of it out, 90%, but you stop all treatment for the next 25 years. What's your body going to look like? You know, it's just going to metastasize everywhere. Well, we pushed back the Soviet Union. We didn't even defeat them. We just pushed them back, declared victory, and stopped all further treatment. And now they run our universities. They run a lot of our churches. They run our Democratic Party. They run the unions. They run Hollywood. They run most of American society. But we won the Cold War, right? So we don't have to worry.
I know, no, and we've talked quite a bit about that on Agenda Weekly because it's such a great deception that's taken place. But again, people need to know the communists still have the original goal of Lenin to take over the world, to encircle the United States of America, so they will fall like a ripe fruit into our hands. And yeah, that's the course we're on today as well.
That's the only goal of communism is complete world domination because it cannot exist. It's like a parasite. A parasite can only exist by completely consuming the host. Then it will die. But a parasite doesn't consume part of the host, then stop. Cancer doesn't consume part of your body, then stop. It keeps going and going and going until the host dies. And that's what communism does. Once it's started, it's like a cancer. It can't stop. It just has to keep growing. And while we pushed back the Soviet Union, we didn't stop China. We certainly didn't stop Cuba. We didn't stop North Korea. And we certainly didn't clean out the massive communist infiltration of the universities in this country, for instance, and the labor unions and the Democratic Party. So what's going to happen if you stop fighting it? It's just going to spread like crazy, and that's where we are now.
Right, and that's why you're so valuable, Trevor, and what you do. That's what we try to do with the Agenda Movies, is to wake people up to the enemy we're really facing, because they have tried to pretend they don't exist. They've tried to call anyone that talks about communism, oh, you're some crazy from the 80s, you're still stuck in the Cold War and stuff. But it's a real battle, and we can see it going on all around us now more and more, which is good. The positive of that is people then, as we start to talk about communism, what's going on, are starting, I know at your talks, my talks, people go, yeah, I see what you're talking about. And so we are awakening a sleeping giant of the American people. And Trump was the great leader of that group to really expose it on a high level scale. And regardless of how this election turns out, yeah, it's going to get bad if Biden's in there, but we still have our 80 million troops that we need to keep working with, organizing, and having a plan for what's next and what are we going to do? Because we have to preserve freedom for our children and grandchildren, whatever the cost may be. And so that's where we are. Now, Trevor, the third and final assault this year of the elections. I mean, they tried to take him out with COVID. It didn't work. They tried to take him out with the racist talk of the Black Lives Matter movement. It didn't work. They knew he was still going to win in a landslide. They knew it. They always fudged the polls to look like they're not. That's not going to happen, just like they did in 1980. You might not know this, Trevor, because you were in New Zealand, but I was 15 years old in 1980. And we had gone door to door for Ronald Reagan as a family. And the week before the election, all the polls said Carter was going to win by between 10 and 12 points. Okay. And I remember going to my dad and saying, "Dad, is that true? Is he going to lose?" And my dad said, "No, the pollsters have been lying my entire life. He'll win in a landslide." And sure enough, the next week of the election, Ronald Reagan won 48 states. Here's what's interesting. You fast forward 36 years to 2016. The week before the election, I was discouraged, thinking, I think Hillary's going to get it, you know, because it was just so much propaganda out there and everything. But I called my dad, who was 86 years old, said, "Dad, what's going to happen next week?" He said, "Trump's going to kill her." I said, "Dad, nobody is saying that. How do you know?" And that he's the one that reminded me. "Don't you remember, son, in 1980? They did the same thing. The polls are always off to influence the useful idiots that want to just go along with the flow and want to just be in the in crowd and vote for whoever the winner is going to be." So they're very powerful tools to change the election outcome. And sure enough, he was right. So, but that's where we are today. I know all their internal polls showed them Trump was going to win by 10 points. And so they were nervous. So tell me what the Chinese did then, realizing, okay, we cannot have this man in there no matter what. This is what we need to do.
Well, look, this worked on several levels. And I'll talk in a minute about one level that no one's talking about, but this was key to this. Well, we do know that there was just straight old-fashioned vote fraud, you know, dead people voting, out-of-state people voting on a massive scale. It's also looking very clear that through the electronic systems that votes were shifted, you know, votes were weighted for Biden and against Trump. All of that happened, and you know, it was a very brazen operation. You had the mail-in ballots, which came in off the back of the COVID, made this so much more easy to achieve. And now that they've been cast, it's very hard to track them back, because like in Georgia, they take the ballot out, separate it from the envelope it came in, so you can't go back and match the signatures. So it's a mess. Some states, I think, you can do that. So, so all of that fraud. See, what actually happened on election night, I think, was this: they'd built in all this fraud. They had a certain level of fraud built in. But they didn't go too crazy on it, because they don't want to make it look too obvious. And when they were start, I think they believed their own garbage a little bit, you know, at the polls. They thought, surely Trump's going to lose. You know, we're going to beat him on this. So when Trump won Florida and he won Ohio and he was doing very well in all these key states, they panicked about midnight, 11 o'clock at night, they panicked. And they stopped the counting and they just did the old-fashioned trucking in ballots. And that's why you get tens of thousands of ballots just marked for President Trump, because they didn't have time to fill them in all down the, you know, right down the whole. So, and they just thought, well, we're just going to bluff it out. You know, we're going to get the media's on our side. We'll bluff it out. We buy judges. We're just going to push it through. Now, this is all true, you know, and this is going to go to court, and hopefully Trump can still prevail on this. Look, everybody knows it was stolen. Best the Democrats are too dishonest to admit to it, and a lot of the Democrat supporters are just thinking, we want Biden anyway, and the Republicans are evil, so it doesn't really matter. See, this is, I just want to make a little point about the morality of the left. and why they think cheating and lying is perfectly fine. Now, I'm sure you saw that old show in the 60s, Hogan's Heroes, right? You know, so Hogan's Heroes was about a German POW camp, and all these Allied prisoners, Americans and British and French, were in this prison camp, and they had these stupid Nazis guarding them. And the whole show was about lying to the Nazis, stealing from the Nazis, killing the Nazis, deceiving the Nazis. And we cheered on Hogan. We cheered on his people because they were cheating and lying and defeating the Nazis. And that's perfectly moral because they're Nazis. Well, what does most of the left call us now? We're Nazis, right?
Yeah.
So it's not only moral to lie. It's not only moral to lie and steal from Nazis. It's not only permissible, it's a moral imperative.
That's right.
You're doing the wrong thing if you're not cheating the Nazis. That's their ethics. So we should not be surprised.
That's right.
At every dirty trick they pull. But the one aspect of this that's completely overlooked, and I've got a film coming out on this today, hopefully, a little 5-minute movie. The same people behind Black Lives Matter, Liberation Road, the pro-Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese Progressive Association out of San Francisco. Liberation Road and the Chinese Progressive Association basically control Black Lives Matter. But they also control a whole network of big voter registration organizations in several key states.
Wow.
And they control, especially in the 7 key states, and they claim, they boast, they won 6 of them for Biden. So what they did, the model for this was Virginia. This has been going on for about 13 years now, but it really ramped up in this election. But the model was Virginia. Virginia was a very red state, a very reliably Republican state for a long time. In 2008, it went for Obama. Big shock. And now it's completely blue. The governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, both senators, most of the congressmen, both houses of the state house, all blue. Well, this is just an accident of demographics, right? No, this is what it is. Virginia has a group called New Virginia Majority. New Virginia Majority. And they're like Acorn. They wear orange T-shirts. And you see them all over the place, and they go out and they sign up hundreds of thousands of minority voters, okay. Right? So they've gone out to all the Black, Latino, Iranian, Puerto Rican, Ethiopian communities and heavily targeted them. They've got it signed up about 300,000 of them. Then they went to the governor at the time, the one before Northam, just forgotten his name, Terry McAuliffe. They went to him and got him to legalize 200,000 Virginia felons and give them the right to vote. And he went against the Virginia Constitution to do that. He had to individually sign 200,000 individual pardons to get it done, just writing all day long. But anyway, this pool of 500,000 minority voters is what they have used to flip Virginia. And the reason they can target these voters so effectively is they're using GIS mapping technology. They have every precinct in the state mapped out with who lives where, what their ethnicity is, their voting patterns, whatever, so they can micro-target voters. So they target people who are going to vote Democrat, not Republican.
Okay.
And guess where? You'll never guess where these maps are generated from. This they are made by a man called Steve McClure. He's a Liberation Road communist. The head of New Virginia Majority, by the way, is John Liss from Liberation Road. But Steve McClure is one of their communists. He's a geography graduate from George Washington University. But for the last 10 years, he's been working out of the geography department of Wuhan University, China. So he's using their computers and their equipment to flip districts all over Virginia. Virginia was flipped from China.
Wow.
They have got similar organizations in North Carolina. It's called the Carolina Federation, run by the Liberation Road communist Sendolo Diamina. which is why North Carolina has a Democrat governor, and Durham, North Carolina, is completely controlled by the communists. They got a similar organization in Texas, the Texas Organizing Project, which is why Beto O'Rourke almost beat Ted Cruz in 2018, because they do big vote. They've signed up nearly a million voters in Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, etc. They got another one, another similar group in Georgia called the New Georgia Project, run by Stacey Abrams, who almost won the governorship of Georgia and is now backing Warnock in the Senate runoffs in Georgia. They got another organization in Florida called the New Florida Majority, which is the group that almost elected the communist Andrew Gillum to the governorship in 2018 and was behind the referendum that gave 1.4 million Florida felons the right to vote. They've got a similar one in Arizona called Lucha. And this is, they did 800,000 phone calls in Arizona and knocked on a million doors in Arizona. They've got another one in Michigan, Detroit Action. They've got another one in Wisconsin. It's called Block. And they boast they won that state for Biden. They talk about how they flipped it from 20,000 down to 20,000 up, their work. They've got another one in Pennsylvania called Pennsylvania Stands Up. They take complete credit for winning Pennsylvania for Biden. All of these groups are coordinated out of the San Francisco Chinese consulate through a group called Seed the Vote, which is run by the same pro-Chinese communists that are running Black Lives Matter. This is a Chinese operation. This is illegal.
It's crazy.
You cannot be interfering in American elections. But they have, they had another one in Kentucky, Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, which is why Kentucky now has a Democrat governor. Their whole philosophy is this. We will use the Black, Latino, and minority vote of the Southern states to flip Southern states Democrat. That will destroy the Republican Party, because that's the Republican Party's base.
That's right.
You flip Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia, that's the end of the GOP. That's it. And Arizona, which so they've flipped Arizona, they've flipped Virginia, and on the verge of flipping, then they've flipped Georgia, and on the verge of flipping North Carolina and Florida. They have almost got, if these vote counts stand, they'll be well on the way to destroying the GOP as a national force. Then the Democrats run America and the Democrats are communist.
That's right.
This is their operation.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that. The Democratic Party has been completely captured, and that's why they are working as fast as they can with our enemies to destroy us from within. I mean, that it's crystal clear. Obama's one of the ringleaders of that.
Yep.
And we already knew he was a Marxist back when you, in 2008, found out about Frank Marshall Davis and his communist mentor and everything. So, people, this it's very serious, and we're living in sober times because we are the enemy of almost every global group, every elitist, every globalist, every communist group, every communist country, because again, they know as long as America stands, they will never have the one world government that they've dreamed of and hoped for. They'll never be able to totally abuse the people of the earth like they've hoped for, because no, America will stop that. They won't allow them to do that. So it's unbelievable to me, Trevor, how I know we both studied this for decades, but it's still sobering how successful they have been and how they keep coming up with new strategies and new ways of undermining us, taking us down, you know, destroying our elections, our ability to vote for who's going to represent us. And isn't it amazing?
It is. And I'll tell you what's more amazing is that, well, A, that nobody knows this because the media shuts it up. But the other thing that's more amazing is you say, Trump got 20 million, maybe 30 million more voters this time than he did last time, with the endless propaganda, with the COVID, with the riots, With the mass indoctrination, the American people still stood up and voted in even greater numbers. That must be driving the globalists absolutely nuts.
Right.
This big blue wave they were going to have. Well, yeah. It didn't materialize.
They had a red tidal wave is what they had.
Exactly.
But again, be encouraged by that, people. You are not alone. The media wants to make you feel like you're alone. All the educational institutions, you're alone. You're the outsider. You're the racist. You're the homophobe. You're the all the titles and tags they put on us. But our side is growing right now because we saw for a change what freedom looked like when we finally got a president that instead of just talking conservative, he actually started implementing some conservative policies, and everyone started to see the benefits of that. And started to realize, yeah, when someone wants to make America great again, it helps me individually. It's a blessing to me and my family and my community and all the minorities around. They're all getting jobs now, the highest, fastest rate ever in American history, but by the racist, so-called, which of course he wasn't. Trump is the most pro-black president we've ever had, probably. I mean, yeah. He loves the black community with all his different programs of investment. He's encouraging people to put their money into the 9,000 poorest black communities in America and giving them tax breaks and things if they'll do that, if they'll invest in those communities, provide jobs in those communities. And that's why I think we saw the black vote start to really go up for Trump. And that some of them start to lose those chains of dependency on the Democratic yeah. Party because they saw, wait a minute, this guy, I actually got a job now. I actually don't have to take the check from the government. I don't have to not be married so I can get my check. I can have my family. I can raise my children. And so freedom is easy to sell if those who are selling it are practicing it. And yes, Trump was doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. People were seeing the benefits. You know, and the black community was starting to peel off the Democratic Party. The Latinos voted for Trump in big numbers. Asian Americans voted for Trump in big numbers. And see, the Democratic Party, being as racist as it is, they have taken the black community as theirs. They own it. And they rely on it as the base block, the building block of their coalition. And when that starts to fray, they're freaking out. They knew if they didn't take Trump down, he was going to force a complete realignment of U.S. politics. You know, they knew that the Democrats knew they were going to fracture, they were going to split up, they'd probably be out of power for 30 years, and that may still happen. The positive thing I'm hanging on to here is this. You know, we were given grace in 2016. We got President Trump, and people were hoping for a miracle in 2020, and it didn't quite happen how nice and cleanly like we were hoping. But if Trump wins this and he prevails, we'll have a very powerful argument to come down hard on vote fraud right across the nation. They've been doing this for 60 years, and it's always been, oh, where's your proof? Where's your proof? And the media's covered for them, and the Republicans have been too gutless to go after it. Well, when this election is restored, when President Trump wins, you're going to see state legislatures all over the country and the federal government bring in very strong anti-vote fraud legislation. And that's going to take away the main weapon of the Democratic Party for decades. Then the next election, you'll start to see, hey, the Democrats they only won 30% of the elections this time. I wonder if that's how it should have been all the time, you know?
That's right.
Going back for years. And when the elections are honest, and you've got someone in the White House and leadership who's actually practicing what they preach, is actually implementing conservative pro-freedom policies, you'll go back to the days that it used to be where presidents used to routinely win 80-20. It used to be many years ago, all our elections have been 50-50 in recent times, 49, 48, whatever. In the old days, most presidential elections were won by 80%. They were won by big margins. And you can start to see that again if we follow through, if we win this, if we keep the faith and keep fighting. This is still to be won, and we got a lot of freedom to get back in this country yet.
That's right. And we'll follow this, of course, as the weeks unfold, because if Biden does get back in there, then there'll be certain things we need to be doing. If Trump gets back in there, there'll be other things we need to be doing. But we need to be active. We need to be purposeful. We need to be educating one person at a time by sharing things like this with them. And like Trevor's book, I want to recommend this. If you have not read this, White House Reds, Trevor, where's the best place they can get this to help you?
Just go, well, the quickest way to get it and to get it signed is go to my website, trevorlowden.com. I have my store on the site right in the front of the page, trevorlowden.com. You can get that book, my video, Enemies Within, which was seen 3 million times on Amazon Prime until I took it down 2 weeks before the election. So you can get, but White House Reds goes into the communist background of Joe Biden and the complete communist takeover of the upper reaches of the Democratic Party.
Yes.
And I emphasize the upper reaches because we all live next to some Democrat neighbors who love their country, the nice people, but they still think they're voting for Harry Truman and JFK. They haven't right. caught up to what's happened to their own party.
That's right. So I encourage you all, it's a great way to support Trevor. All he does all day, every day, is research. Who is trying to hurt us from within? Who is trying to take our country down and then share that information all over the country? So I encourage you to go to trevorlowden.com, get his book, get that movie. It's excellent too, Enemies Within. And then maybe get a couple copies that you can share with others. That's what I always encourage you to do, because people are always asking, what can I do? Well, here's something you can do. Because every person that gets this book and reads it, all of a sudden, the light's going to come on. Every person that watches Enemies Within and sees that, they're going to go, oh my goodness, I didn't know. And then it's one more person that does know. And I've seen this over my life. Once the lights do come on, they never go off again.
I'll say this, Curtis. You know, your movie in 2010, the agenda grinding America down, I think that had a major impact on the 2010 elections. I think that's what won the House back for the Republicans. I think that had was a very big factor. That was seen by millions of people at a critical time. I think it was basically you and Glenn and everybody in the country knows it except for Karl Rove, who still thinks the GOP did it. But, you know, the GOP was just the shell that carried the votes. But, you know, your agenda made a massive difference. Well, Curtis, you remember the book from the 60s that John Stormer wrote, you know, None Dare Call It Treason, about the communist infiltration of the government. That book sold millions of copies, was passed around all over the country. Reagan would order 100 copies at a time. It was on his desk in the White House. That book started the Reagan Revolution. So, you know, your movie, that book, you know, these things can make a massive difference in our society. And it's one thing they can't censor. We can just keep passing these things around. And that's what we've got to do to build the team to take back freedom in this country.
That's right. And I think it's really important as things on the internet get more censored, things that we have physical copies of things, physical copies of movies, so we can watch them in our home, because they are starting to take them down off the internet. Physical copies of books, so we can share them with others, and they won't know what's going on. They're approaching a world where they want the high-tech control. Well, we might have to go back to the old days, and we have physical copies of things, and we go person to person with truth, and it changes everything. But Trevor, thank you so much for your time and being on here. You're one of my good friends. I so appreciate you. And those of you that are listening, don't be discouraged. Just keep doing, being faithful one day at a time to do what you can do to make a difference. And I know if we're praying, God will help us in this battle that we're in. And it's just a battle for truth and righteousness. That's all it is. It's against an evil, atheistic worldview that hates God, hates the family, hates the church, hates everything the way God designed it to be. And all we're saying in America, we want to keep doing it God's way, because we saw over our 244 years that He blesses that when we do it His way. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you.
Thank you, Curtis.